And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into Friday. You've made it. It's Sports Talk. I'm Scott Beatty, the editor of Illini HQ and sports section of the News Gazette. Is Matt Daniels. He's here as well. We have some things to look back on, some things to look forward to if you are, in fact, looking forward to Illinois and Minnesota football tomorrow. Might be a tough day at the office for the Illini. They're trying to snap a four-game losing streak, but Minnesota could be vulnerable. We will see. We'll talk to Matt Jessen Howard from the GopherReport.com up in the Twin Cities along the way here and get his perspective on Minnesota. And while he's with us, we'll also ask him about the basketball squad as well. Joe Hendrickson will check in with us from the City Suburban Hoops Report. Io DeSumo, 24 hours ago, we didn't know if Io was coming to Illinois or not.
I think everyone had a pretty good idea of what direction he was leaning, Scott, but until he walked out with that white Illinois polo on at the Jordan Brand store in downtown Chicago, I'm sure there were some Illinois fans that were very anxious, very nervous at all, and I'm sure there still are some out there that are feeling that way until he actually puts pen to paper.
Yeah, that's right.
And signs his letter of intent. And then I'm sure there's also probably a segment, too, that is not going to believe he's actually going to play for Illinois until they see him in an Illinois uniform going out for warm-ups for the season opener of the 2018-19 season.
And you would understand, I think, if people felt that way.
I understand.
That's not going at Io's character.
No.
But it's just gone that way too many times.
Yeah, because everyone, you know, the big recruits in the 2017 class to watch and Illinois fans did for pretty much his entire high school season at East St. Louis last year was Jeremiah Tillman after he committed. And he signed a letter of intent, had a big ceremony down at East St. Louis High School, and then everything that transpired in the spring. And now he's at Missouri. But different circumstances this time. Brad Underwood in his first year, he's not going anywhere. You're not going to have to worry about him leaving after a season, although I'm sure Oklahoma State fans probably thought that the same way last year, so I just keep talking myself in circles, Scott.
You've convinced no one, Matt, in the last minute of this program. You've convinced no one of anything. Here's how you can get in touch with us if you want to hop on. We have a temporary call-in line. Is 351-5667. And by the way, if you're going to be joining us tomorrow for the Fasteners, Etc. post-game show, we always welcome your calls. And just make note of that, 351-5667. Castle Heating and Cooling text line stays the same. That's 217-351-5357. Phone number again to call in, 351-5667. Text line 351-5357. A couple of headlines to get to today. Game 6 of the AL Championship Series. Yep, Cubs are out after getting drubbed by the Dodgers last night. I had a feeling that was going to happen. The Cubs just out of pitching, out of energy, I think, and it's the Dodgers' year. I think you can at least say the Cubs got beat by the better team.
Yeah, and I remember talking on the show last night with you, Scott, and we mentioned it at the tail end of the show, but if you're the Cubs going into last night, you wanted to jump on Kershaw early and have a solid outing by Jose Quintana, and the exact opposite happened. The Dodgers jumped on Quintana early, and he was out by the third inning, and it wasn't much of a ball game after that. And yeah, kudos to the Dodgers too, making their first World Series appearance since 1988. And I'm sure some fans might like it if the Yankees Dodgers do end up meeting. Some fans may be turned off by that as well, but that's a pretty cool World Series from a historical perspective if that does transpire this October.
The Nationals have fired Dusty Baker. Dusty, thank you for leading them to two back-to-back National League East titles.
It's all about what you do in the postseason.
That's right, and it's really hard to win a postseason playoff series. I don't think it's quite fair, though many Cubs fans would have no love lost for Dusty Baker. Nevertheless, he's out. Nationals general manager Mike Rizzo will now be looking for the Nationals' sixth manager in a 10-year span. For all that we talk about at the college level of needing consistency to help build up a program, I'm not sure how the Nationals are served by giving Dusty Baker the boot, but I'm not a general manager. So
it's above your pay grade.
That's way above my pay grade. The Detroit Tigers have made a hire at manager as well. Ron Gardenhire used to lead the Minnesota Twins. Good choice there. Illinois volleyball tonight. They are taking on Iowa in Iowa at Iowa City. 7 o'clock first serve. Dave Lone on the call. 6:50 is pregame. Bulls off tonight. Hawks and Blues off as well. And we'll get into this perhaps as we go along if time allows, but mark your calendars. The game next year against Penn State for Illinois football has been moved back a day to Friday night at Memorial Stadium. Now it'll be Friday night, September 21st. Let's go to the phones. Now, we are proudly broadcasting here from downtown Champaign at News Gazette Media World Headquarters, 15 East Main. And we have had a phone guest or two, but I have not yet had a listener on here, Sports Talk, here in our new studio. So let's welcome and inaugurate the phone systems at 351-5667 with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Yeah, this is Danny. How are you doing,
Scott? Oh, Benny. I'm sorry. It came up as Danny, but it's Benny. Benny, you just came in our lobby. I just got to shake your hand for the first time. Welcome.
Yeah, and I'm glad I got to shake your hand, too. And Tamara McDaniel and I are old friends. We went to high school together, so I wanted to pass that along. And her husband was also a good friend of mine. We were on the same football team together back in 84 when we were seniors. We won for Centennial High School. We won the Big 12 Tourney title and went to the playoff for the first time in school history. So that's the relationship I have with those two.
Well, that's outstanding. How would you have liked to have had a turf field that will be put in there?
Well, you know, a lot of players don't like that. If it's like a grass-like field, not like in the NFL when players suffer that turf toe, we wouldn't want that. But if it's like a grass-like field, that might be okay. But I had some questions for the both of you. I did meet Tim Denton, and he didn't have the answer to it. But it's about Big Ten Media Day. I just wanted to know if anyone there knew, you know, because I know all the coaches that take questions one at a time. But I was wondering if either one of you knew if Richard Pitino had to field any questions about his dad. And I hope that no, they weren't too harsh on him, because it's not his fault.
Yeah. All right, Benny, hey, appreciate you calling in. I honestly did not check out the interview with Rick Pitino.
No, I didn't either. Obviously, he's talked about it in the past. I know the Associated Press had a story about it, and obviously the media up in the Twin Cities has covered it before as well. But as far as anything that happened on Thursday in New York City, not too sure about that. That almost kind of got lost in the shuffle of
a crazy
busy sports day on a Thursday here in Champaign-Urbana. But and also kind of got lost in the shuffle too with it being in New York City as well. So first time having it out there a year after they had it in Washington, D.C. But it wouldn't have shocked me if that topic was brought up. It's media days like that are big events for national media and a chance for writers from across the country, media personalities from across the country to talk to these coaches that they may not get to talk to most of the season.
I've pulled up the transcript of Rick Pitino's session with the whole media, and he was not asked about that. But that session is somewhat limited in time.
Yeah, it's usually about 10, 15 minutes, and then they have a chance later in the day to kind of have breakout sessions where it's a kind of a smaller, more intimate setting. And in an environment like that, you're just basically in a giant ballroom with about 1,000 media members. And like I said, they have breakout sessions later in the day where it's not as big of a crowd. So don't know if that topic was brought up at all, but it wouldn't have shocked me if it was.
Tell you what, Matt Jessen Howard from thegopherreport.com will join us in a few minutes. If we get any time, we'll ask him about that. Appreciate the call. If anyone else wants to jump in, 351-5667 is our at least temporary studio phone line here at DWS. Illinois basketball has got Io DeSumo, and what a big day that was yesterday. And just looking at the reaction across social media, people feeling proud of Illinois basketball again. This is a kid who won't be here for 10 months or whatever it is, but the sense of pride is being carried. That along with Mark Smith, this is going to be a special backcourt if things turn out the way they could.
Yeah, exactly right, Scott. You bring in the 2017 Mr. Basketball winner and Mark Smith, who was also the News Gazette's All-State Player of the Year. And Io DeSumo goes into the 2018-19 season as kind of the front runner and as far as the prep players in the state of Illinois. And I think more so you hear a lot of times too with recruiting, it's all about perception, and with the fact that Illinois hadn't really landed a big time player out of the Chicago Public League in quite some time, and that they're able to do it before Brad Underwood has even coached a game at Illinois, I think speaks to kind of the confidence that that Io and his family had in Underwood and the staff here that mm-hmm. he's assembled at Illinois. And you know, after this first season, if Illinois is able to have some success, then they can go out and actually show recruits, hey, this is what we're doing at Illinois.
I don't know if we could measure it, but how big is it that Jamal Walker has stayed on through this? Because I think he's provided a continuity that we can't understand as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Brandon Paul was talking about him when he was here visiting. By the way, Brandon Paul got hosed with his, is that an avatar, an NBA?
I believe so.
What, 2K? 2K, yeah. He
doesn't look anything like him.
Doesn't look anything like him. The cornrows are all messed up, but Brandon Paul seems to be taking it in stride. Check out his Twitter feed because he's kind of laughing at the whole thing.
I think
at the same time, digging him, too.
I think back to Jamal Walker. He's kind of been that steadying influence for Illinois basketball and the coaching perspective from the last 5 years or so. And obviously, Brad Underwood thought highly of him to keep him on board, and I thought that was a smart decision at the time just because he had developed such good relationships with a lot of the upcoming recruits and coaches, high school coaches, AAU coaches, and he could really sell not only what the program can be, but just what the whole entire campus is like. He's of the coaches on Underwood staff, he had actually been at Illinois for a prolonged period of time, so he knew where things were at, and that plays a part too, and the comfort level for a family when they're sending their son off to college as well. But he's kind of maybe an unsung hero, and the fact that he held Illinois together as best they could last March and led him to two wins in the NIT when he's the interim coach as well kind of speaks to the job he's done here in Champaign-Urbana.
So now some eyes move to Talen Horton Tucker. He'll make his official visit this weekend. He may be here today. I can't remember.
Yeah, he's in the midst of his official visit. Yeah. Goes on throughout the whole weekend. The momentum seems to be kind of be pointing upward right now for Illinois. You land a five-star point guard like Io DeSumo, and seems good vibes could maybe continue to flow their way. Horton Tucker's down to, I think, about seven schools right now, and a wing, not the same position as Io DeSumo, who's a point guard. But Talen Horton Tucker is a guy that really just his recruitment really exploded this past spring after his play on the AAU circuit, and he's got some other big time programs interested in him too. But playing at a program like Simeon that has produced a plethora of not only college-bound players, but NBA players as well. Derrick Rose, Jabari Parker. He'd be another huge get for Brad Underwood in the Illini if he decides to pop here.
We'll talk about that more later on in the program with Joe Henrickson, but we'll turn our attention to the Golden Gophers of Minnesota up in the Twin Cities, where Illinois football is playing tomorrow at 2:30 is the kick here on DWS. Matt Jessen Howard from the Gopher Report when we come back at Sports Talk here on Friday.
If you're looking for podcasts of all our on-air interviews, you can find them at WDWS.com, and you can also subscribe in iTunes.
It's 5:26 on Sports Talk. Scott and Matt with you here. We're bringing in another Matt. It's Matt Jessen Howard. He's a publisher of The Gopher Report up in Minneapolis covering the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Matt, first time we've had the pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it. Hey, the Golden Gophers, how would you describe what's going on with this football team under P.J. Fleck? I know it's a young team like Illinois. Is it trending upward? The feeling around here is for Illinois, young players but a lot of talent, and the expectation is they will get better, if not next year, in a couple of years, assuming Lovey adds to the recruiting classes. Is that the same way it's going with P.J. Fleck?
Yeah, maybe a similar situation. I think Minnesota might be a step beyond where Illinois is right now, or a half step beyond anyways. But I think, like Illinois, Minnesota is pretty young. Not quite as young as Illinois. They're not starting 14 true freshmen, but the Gophers are young. Like Illinois, they're pretty injured right now. And in terms of trending up, the Gophers started the season really well. They kind of blew out Oregon State on the road. And then things kind of went, things didn't go so well from there, but Dewey Croft, last game, he came in the second half for Connor Rhoda at quarterback, and he did a really excellent job. So I think that's given the fan base a lot of hope and kind of re-energized the team. So I think with Croft leading the way, I think that definitely paves the way for potential bowl eligibility now.
Was it obvious that it was time to bring in a new quarterback? Looked like PJ Fleck said he just saw a good opportunity and wanted to see what he could do. But from your perspective, was it sorely needed?
Yeah, I think so. Kind of all since fall camp or even since fall or spring practice, there was kind of this debate of Croft or Rhoda. And I think for all the media there at that were allowed in practice, Croft was a better quarterback in just about every practice. So it was kind of surprising to see Rhoda be named the starter. There were some off-field issues that played into that. And they more or less played at comparable levels in those first two games. But Fleck ended up naming Rhoda the starter. Rhoda, he did not have a ton of success through the air, but it wasn't a disaster. I think more so the ground game kind of struggled. So the Gophers like to run a run pass option offense. And it's hard to run an option when your quarterback's not very mobile.
Don't we know it?
Rhoda is not very mobile. Croft is. So I think in that sense too, Croft helps the Gopher ground game.
Talking with Matt Jessen Howard, publisher of thegopherreport.com.
Hey, Matt, this is Matt Daniels with the News Gazette. Illinois football last week, I'd say, hit kind of their low point of the season with their loss to Rutgers. If Illinois were to go up into TCF Bank Stadium and pull out a win, would that be the equivalent for a low point this season for Minnesota?
Yeah, that would definitely be a low point. I know Illinois is pretty beat up right now injury wise. The Gophers are too, but I think in general, fans in Minneapolis see this game as kind of the most winnable on the schedule.
Just in terms of your interactions with PJ Fleck, obviously he's got a lot of energy, a lot of catchphrases. I know his hiring was praised when Minnesota made that move last winter at all. Do you think the honeymoon is still ongoing, or is it slipping a bit at all, or are fans still still fully on board Flex boat?
Yeah, I think it's still kind of in the honeymoon phase. So Flex talks about it being year zero, where he's implementing the culture. And I think when Tracy Clays was here, he went 9-4. So success wasn't necessarily the issue, but there was kind of a lack of buzz around the program. Ticket sales weren't great. Recruiting was not going very well at all. And Clays didn't necessarily have the personality of most Division I head coaches, whereas Fleck kind of course, absolutely has this very outgoing, very high-energy personality, kind of brings this national brand, the row the boat mantra with him. So I think the fan base is still definitely engaged and energized by Fleck. And with the losses, I mean, maybe it's dwindling a little bit, but I think it's still very much the honeymoon phase.
It's interesting how fans react to these coaches, because prior to Lovie Smith, well, interim was Bill Cubitt. Before that was Tim Beckman, who was kind of a high-energy guy, but didn't always make sense what was going on. Lovie Smith, of course. I mean, P.J. Fleck and Lovie Smith couldn't be more opposite, right? And Lovie Smith's got this low key, and you know, lately we're hearing fans calling for Lovie to be more emotional, bombastic, whatever, what have you, and figuring he's not inspiring guys. I wonder if there is, on the flip side, of a guy like PJ Fleck, where at some point people are going to go, man, tone it down. Can't take all this. It's too intense. And at some point, players may tune that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think so Fleck kind of says he's not for everyone. He's not for every fan, and he's not. I mean, there has been some resistance from day one, where he's not necessarily a great personality fit. He's not. I mean, he is kind of this bombastic, very energetic guy. So Yeah, I think especially if the losses pile on, the Gophers have a pretty rough end of their schedule. And if the losses pile on, I'm sure he'll come under more heat. But yeah, I mean, I think every coach has a different approach, and not all coaches are necessarily a great fit with the coaches that programs have had before, or a great personality fit.
For tomorrow's game, it sounds like maybe the strongest aspect of Minnesota's game is the running game. What is the most vulnerable part that Illinois might exploit?
Yeah, that's interesting. So the Gophers, kind of under Connor Rota, they struggled to run the option. There's been injuries on the offensive line. So the run game really had not been quite as effective as fans were hoping this year, considering that there's two really talented backs in Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks. I know, so Illinois, I think their pass defense is probably a little bit more competent right now than the run defense, right?
Yes.
So I think
understatement.
Maybe,
well, that's an understatement.
Okay, yeah. So I think if the Illinois front seven can hold its own, and maybe that's asking a lot, that's going to go a long ways to helping them helping them win. I think maybe with Demery Cross as a new quarterback, he was excellent against Michigan State. Maybe there's the inexperience there impacts something, and the weather. I don't know. I do think Illinois is going to have to stop the run, though.
Looking ahead to the basketball season, Matt, just what's the prognosis for Richard Pitino's team? I know he's got a lot of key guys back this season.
Yep. This should be the best year in the Pitino era. I think pretty much every preseason ranking has had the Gophers top 25, usually top 20. So there's pretty much everyone returning other than shooting guard Akeem Spring, who started in the second half of the year. But between Nate Mason and Amir Coffey, Reggie Lynch, Dupree McBrayer, they get an incoming freshman, Isaiah Washington, who kind of has this whole Jelly Fam following and brand. There's certainly a lot of excitement about the program and a lot of experience returning.
What kind of heat has Rick Pitino gotten, if any, because of what happened in Louisville?
Yeah, I think that's certainly on a lot of fans' minds. You know, Pitino's just kind of said, well, he's family. You know, I love my dad. It's tough. I'm there for him. He's of course said he doesn't know anything about it. It's business as usual for Minnesota. I wouldn't really say he's come under heat. But it's a tricky situation for him to be in, for sure.
Well, back to football. When this is all summed up, it looks like last I saw, Minnesota was a 2-touchdown favorite. Don't know if that's changed much. You agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is the most winnable game for Minnesota on their schedule. I can't believe how young Illinois is. I mean, to start 14 true freshmen, and it looked like there might be a walk-on sophomore linebacker starting their second straight game. I just think it's going to be tough for the Illini to come on the road and win against Minnesota, even if Minnesota is not as good as they've been recently. Even if Minnesota is a borderline bowl team. So I have to go for winning 35-13.
Hey, Matt, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and let's do it again when basketball season rolls around.
Awesome, great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, appreciate it. Matt Jessen Howard from thegopherreport.com. You can follow him at mjessenhoward on Twitter. Yeah, I'm feeling the same sort of, you know, when Illinois is the homecoming team, and actually, I don't know if it's Minnesota's homecoming.
It is.
Yeah, it is. And everybody looks at you as the winnable game. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, Illinois is the bottom of the Big Ten. I think if you were to have a power ranking on mm-hmm. that, I think you have to put him at the bottom of the Big Ten, below Rutgers, below anybody else.
We do a Big Ten power ranking every Monday in the News Gazette, and Bob Osmussen does it. And this past Monday, he had Illinois at number 14 there, and you lose to Rutgers at home, a program that had a 16-game Big Ten losing streak coming into last Saturday, and a lot of key injuries have happened to the Illini throughout the year, but they're just not winning ball games, Scott.
When we come back, we'll turn to brighter days ahead.
Dreary, dreary topic we just talked about.
It's not our fault, I don't think.
It's always accessible to blame the media.
Yeah, there you go. We'll turn to basketball recruiting because there's more on the horizon for Illinois basketball the day after they land one of their biggest in history.
It's Fighting Illini Volleyball tonight at 7 as the Illini take on the Hawkeyes in Iowa City. Dave Lone has the play-by-play action from Carver Hawkeye coming up tonight.
5:42 here on Sports Talk, taking you till 6 o'clock. It's Illinois Volleyball then at 6:50 taking on the Hawkeyes. Yesterday, a banner day for Illinois basketball recruiting as Io DeSumo made his announcement that he's coming to Illinois, something that many people expected. So what does that mean, and what's next for Illinois basketball recruiting? Joe Henriksen covers recruiting for the City Suburban Hoops Report and joins us now. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, really appreciate it. We've covered a lot of territory here in the last 4 days, understanding what it would mean for Illinois to land him. But for your perspective, how big is this for Illinois to have him?
There's so many positives on so many different fronts. Highly ranked, yes. Number one player in the state, yes. Public league player, yes.
Checks all the boxes, Joe, pretty much.
Fits into the scheme of what they want to do. And I think that's probably maybe the most important thing from a basketball player's perspective, is that he does fit in so perfectly with what Underwood wants to do, how Io plays, and his greatest strengths. So that's going to play out perfectly. But on the grand scheme of things, obviously, perception-wise, it's just it's a big name. It's it kind of erases a little bit of the notion that nobody or the top-ranked player doesn't want to go to Illinois anymore. I mean, it's a little bit unfair because, you know, some of those misses that Illinois encountered, we're talking about the top-ranked players mm-hmm. that, you know, Illinois maybe wasn't even in the running for, like a Julius Okafor and Jabari Parker. They weren't getting them. You know, they were right to the wire with Cliff Alexander, Jalen Brunson, and so forth. I mean, those were all guys that were, you know, this is why I'm saying unfair, pounded by blue bloods, top 25 programs that were all ranked, most of them all in the top 15 in the country. So those were a little bit different, you know, situations. But nonetheless, you are getting a player that is viewed and looked upon as the best player in Illinois in his class, as a legit high major, and ranked among the top 30 players in the country. So it's a win in all different phases or facets that we just talked about.
How many years does Io play at Illinois?
Good question. I mean, I'm going to say four. I think he's there 3 or 4 years. And, I think that's for discussion way down the road. I mean, as good as Io is and as good as he fits with what they want to do, particularly tempo-wise, open court transition and decision-making, there are some things he clearly has to work on, and he would admit that he has to work on going forward, and that includes a perimeter shot. It's still a very much a work in progress, that perimeter jumper. He's not an elite athlete, and he's just I keep talking about how this kid was born to play basketball. He has a feel that and just a pure basketball player. And, you know, I don't think Illinois has had a whole lot of those since the last year or two of the Weber era and then through the John Gross era, because they just lack fundamentally sound players that just get it and have that natural feel and ease about them as basketball players. And that's why I would be so excited to have him as part of the program for the coaching staff and those fans.
Joe Henriksen's joining us. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Hoops Report.
Hey, Joe. It's Matt Daniels with the News Gazette. What is it about Brad Underwood? Do you think that his recruiting style, what he's selling these kids at all, why is he able to convince arguably the top two players in the state and Mark Smith last April and now Io DeSumo to come to Champaign?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Io, I think a big part of it, I think Io even discussed or talked about it, is kids want to play in that type of style, particularly guards, and they obviously did a terrific job, Underwood and the staff, of selling what it means to play in that style and system for him as a player individually. And some coaching staffs do a great job of relaying that message to prospects. Some, can't get it quite to resonate. And that's a big part of what it was with Io DeSumo. I think the second part too was that, it takes a special kid to want to be a little different. And I think Io DeSumo welcomes with open arms the opportunity to be the man and be the guy. And I don't even think he has to be that type of player. I mean, he can march to that drum and feed into that, but I don't even think he has to put that type of pressure on him, because he's got so many perimeter weapons around him. If he just goes and plays how he is capable of doing, he doesn't have to be a team-carrying type of player. Mark Smith, I think, was just a completely different type of recruitment. I think Mark Smith was headed to Illinois no matter what. Mm-hmm. But regardless, it's a huge coup for Underwood in that short amount of time to lock it up because of who was involved in recruiting Mark Smith. I mean, there were some heavy hitters coming in on Mark Smith, and you never know where that's going to go when those types of players are involved in a recruitment. And I just think it's a combination of a fresh sell, something new at Illinois. I think every first year coach has that 12 to 18 month window in where they can completely sell that part of it, and I think that's what happened with John Gross, and it got away from him after 2-3 years of, year two, year three, where they didn't go to the tournament. Year one was great, but then they didn't capitalize immediately, and then two and three went south, and that you can't sell. We can do what we did at Ohio, and I'll do what we did with DJ Cooper, and it just goes away eventually, and that's what happened there, and now Brad Underwood has this, remarkable opportunity because of what he did with Juwan Evans as a point guard at Oklahoma State, what they did offensively in that second half of their season, to showcase that and be able to sell that style, system, and a fresh new era at Illinois.
Hey, Joe, I don't want to get greedy here, but is there any chance – the backcourt's looking pretty good now. Any chance they could bolster the front court?
I think it's going to be really difficult immediately between now and signing day in November to get a player of impact in the front court. I just think a couple of those targets that they were after obviously didn't go their way. I don't think it's as devastating as some people have made it out to be. I think they, what will happen between now and April, a number of things could materialize. Hopefully Illinois could add they don't want to just add a body. They need to add a body that matters. And I think the road would be a late bloomer that develops between now and, February and March that they can get in on, whether it be — it's not going to happen in Illinois because there's nobody that would be a late bloomer with size, but around the Midwest or some area that they are connected to nationally, a transfer or a fifth year senior, because you would like to have one more body next year. I mean, if you look at 2018, 2019 and the Illinois roster, I think it's perfect for what they want to do. But I mean, and ideally, if you really look at it with Black and Finke coming back, the two freshmen gaining a little bit seasoning here as freshmen this year, ideally, I mean, a fifth year senior next April, May for 1 year, the next year, a big man, five. No, you can't count on that and guarantee it, but that's like perfect scenario to really supplement what they have, because they have a chance to be really good in 2 years. And I just, with this perimeter talent that's in place, and then I don't care, anybody can say what they want about Black and Finke, the fact is they're going to be seniors and veterans who have played a ton of minutes and a lot of game action when they are seniors. So, you know, that's a starting point in the front court, and you just would love to see them bolster something. I know we're jumping ahead 1 year, but that's the road, you know, that I think between now and April, that I just don't see something between now and November of a player of impact, at least.
Joe, going back to Iowa a bit, just in terms of the perception from the public league coaches, public league fans, public league supporters, how much does this, his commitment maybe start to chip away and breaking down that barrier or that perception that Illinois can't land and they haven't landed essentially some high profile kids out of the public league?
No, it says a lot. I mean, it takes time to develop relationships. I mean, Brad Underwood hasn't been living in the public league for very long. I mean, you know, it's Chin Coleman obviously has some very good ties and relationships. But I almost think sometimes assistant coaches get too much blame and sometimes they get too much credit. At the end of the day, the head coach, you know, I just think those assistant coaches a lot of times are tremendous setup men. If I use a bullpen term, and then you've got a closer with the head coach, and you know, I just think he's going to have to continue to build that relationship. But it does go a lot because I would assume it was very respected, and in Chicago, I've talked about it, I've tweeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's handled things the right way. He's never made a clown of himself that so many other top players have over the years, and I really respect him in that regard, and I know others do too. So to get that high quality character kid, because that's what he is. I mean, he is a terrific young man, and they're adding that in addition to the basketball player. But that resonates as well among coaches and people that are in the Chicago area and gyms and talking about it. And just think about just the 180 degree turn. If he says no, I mean, everybody's like, oh, and, you know, here we go again. Illinois's never going to get a player ever again. To the point where now it swings a completely other way. Hey, look, they got a guy, and it changes the whole perspective. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, you can say Iota Sumu is overrated. You can say he's underrated. You could say whatever you want to say about it. The fact is he is a high-profile guy from Chicago, clearly the number one prospect in Illinois. That is a legit, like I said, a high major point guard prospect, and Illinois got him. So that just goes without saying, but it does resonate because you're talking positively about Illinois basketball as opposed to any negative things that you hear in gyms.
Real quick, how much does this impact Taylor Horton Tucker, who's making an official visit this weekend?
It's going to be tricky, to be honest. I think the biggest thing is Underwood and staff are going to have to this weekend, and they've obviously been able to do this with Io to show him how he would fit, but also with Talen Horton Tucker because of the numbers game. A lot's been made about the relationship between Io and Talen. I don't think that's as much of a big factor at all as it is just being able to, hey, when Horton Tucker and his people and his family are saying, hey, you've got Tajon Lucas, Demonte Williams, Trent Frazier, Mark Smith, Io DeSumo, those are five talented guards, and if you got all these guys, where do I fit in, and how is this going to work? So they are just going to have to be able to express how that dynamic would come together, and with that hit a grand slam on this visit to kind of pull even, I think, with like a Xavier and Iowa State, and make it difficult on him to say no, because I think this will be his last visit, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly he makes a decision following the visit.
Hey, Joe, we really appreciate your time. Good stuff, as always, and would love to do it again.
Hey, I appreciate having me. Thanks, guys. A great time for Illinois basketball leading up to this signing period.
Indeed. That's Joe Henrickson. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Hoops Report. He's the editor of the City Suburban Hoops Report. We wrap it up in a moment.
I will say this, when I was at Vincennes, I was getting the top of the line in junior college. You know, you can get the top of the line in junior college. I mean, you're in junior college, it's not going to get much better than that. But I got the top of the line and what I could at Vincennes as far as the gear and the food. But here, the facilities are different. The gym is different.
All right, Pirates just took over our radio there.
I'm
still working out the kinks here, Scott.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks for being with us. A couple of important items to let you know. First of all, team has landed safely in Minneapolis. Bob Osmussen has ordered a Juicy Lucy, he tells us. And tomorrow morning, Saturday Sports Talk, Io DeSumo will be on the air with Lauren and Michael.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
That's all you need to know. Plenty more at the scoreboard tonight, newshyphengazette.com for all the high school football you need. Thanks to Blake Landa behind the scenes tonight, Matt Jessen Howard, our guest, Joe Hendrickson as well. If you missed it, this will soon be a podcast at WDWS.com and on iTunes. This is News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.